Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For those joining us live, we're really excited about our next guest. Jennifer Hanford is making her first appearance on our program this year to talk to us about her brand-new book, The Light of Hidden Flowers. It's a great reference to a poem that you'll find out about in this book. But it's a fascinating look, I think, at life and what it sometimes takes for us to live the life that we're supposed to live and to have the people in our lives that we're supposed to have. We'll talk to Jennifer not only about this literary journey for her, but what it's been like for her to introduce these characters and what she hopes you're able to take away from the book as well. Jennifer, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I love being able to talk to authors and recording artists on their release date, so this is really exciting for us. And again, the book's available for our friends to be able to get right now. We'll remind them of that a little bit later, Jennifer. But Jennifer, what does it feel like for you now to have this new book out, to have these characters available for the world to be able to enjoy?
Oh, it's such an exciting day. I mean, I think that, this is my third book, and, it's just as exciting today as it was when my first book came out. And, I mean, every book is so different, and this one just was really meaningful to me because, you know, really I kind of look at it as a modern-day hero's journey, and my main character, Missy or Melissa, you know, she just really, it was a matter of finding herself. I mean, she was a woman who, you know, she had the strength all along, but she didn't know it. And it really took kind of putting herself in an uncomfortable position and giving up some of her comfort to, to find that, you know, she had the strength to go to the next level and be the person that she, you know, that she knew she could be. And, so it was really fun writing her.
Yeah. You know, what I thought about when I was reading Melissa's journey in the book, Jennifer, and I smiled to myself as I was reading the book, because you allow us to kind of slip in her skin because, you know, the book is written in first person, so we're able to kind of have this journey along with her. But I thought how so many of us can relate to being, you know, really put together professionally and just really messed up when it comes to our personal lives and being
right.
able to, you know, to function in a way and not to have everything so controlled. I mean, was that part of the experience for you to be able to become Melissa, to be able to see the world as she was seeing it and to make and sometimes not make the decisions that she does or doesn't?
Definitely, because, you know, by all appearances, she wasn't an outward mess. I mean, she was, professionally successful. I mean, she had been, you know, had all sorts of degrees. She had aced every test that she had ever taken. You know, she was doing well in life, but definitely had not stepped outside of her comfort zone. So in that sense, she kind of was still very young and immature and still really struggling inside. So, yeah, I mean, I think that we could definitely put an outward appearance that doesn't necessarily reflect what we're, you know, striving to be on the inside or, you know, are always feeling on the inside.
Exactly. And one of the other characters that we're able to meet in this book, Joe, and for those who haven't read the book, they will discover more about their history. But the connection that the two of them have, I thought, was so interesting, especially at a pivotal point in the book, and it's up to you, Jennifer, if we actually talk about what that is, but where they have this moment of connection with each other. They can understand each other in maybe a way that they couldn't even when they were together, I think. But because of something that has happened to Melissa, you know, they're able to kind of have this moment together. What was it like for you to kind of have, you know, his being a part of this story, in some ways even telling parts of his story, and being able to show that connection?
I absolutely loved writing Joe. I mean, if I have my way, I will always have that opportunity to write from alternate characters' perspectives. Just because, I mean, as a female writer, being able to write from the male perspective, for one, is just such a kind of a joy. And, it's just kind of an interesting, a differentiator to do something different like that. And especially, for the listeners who haven't read it, you know, Joe is a war veteran, and so, you know, talk about a guy who has had it all together his entire life, you know, basically walked through life with aplomb, you know, just high school athlete, good-looking guy, you know, married with children, a Marine, you know, all together, and then goes to war and definitely gets knocked down a notch mentally, psychologically, physically, and has to deal with all of that. So being able to inhabit that space was just, you know, so interesting for me. And I definitely read so many accounts of veterans and guys coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan and just psychologically what it's like for them trying to deal with that and the loss of control that they feel, you know, where they once did feel so much control and now trying to deal is just so fascinating to me. So knowing Joe and then, you know, knowing that there's so much nuance to him and then, you know, kind of weaving him in with Missy, who definitely there's so much nuance to. They're just the perfect couple. So I loved that they had the chance to reconnect and, you know, hopefully things will work out for them.
There's definitely a lot for readers to be able to enjoy for sure. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Jennifer Hanford. She's the author of the new book, The Light of Hidden Flowers. As she was saying, this is her third novel. We'll tell you all a little bit later how you can stay connected with Jennifer. Jennifer, I want to talk to you about the layers of this book because there were three layers that really struck me. One, of course, is the fact that you have Melissa, who is going through life trying to better understand, I think, her place or kind of realize, you know, that life can sometimes be messy and good at the same time, but you have to be able to shake things up. There is the layer of you know, Joe that you mentioned and, you know, realizing that, you know, even out of bad situations that good things can come and that you can be able to overcome. But there's also a very personal element in this with Melissa's father, and I can talk around this if you don't want to give this part away, but, you know, with her father and what he dealt with, I think that there's a lot that we can learn there, how the appreciation we sometimes have for people and what they've done for us doesn't come until something tragic happens or to some big moment happens. I mean, what was it like for you to kind of, you know, to dive into that third element of, you know, when life happens to us all, you know, how that kind of brings out sometimes the best and worst of us?
Definitely. So I don't think it's a spoiler alert to say that so Missy and her father are very close, and she has relied on him her entire life. The mother has died early on in a horrible accident. So it's just the two of them going it alone their whole life, and they end up working together and in a father-daughter office. And so she's so used to relying on her father.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets sick and ultimately passes away. I think that when she realizes that he's gone, she sees that even though her love for him, you know, was a little needy, it was perfect in a certain way, but that his love for her wasn't exactly He loved her wholly, but he didn't love exactly who she was. He was always nudging her to be, wanting her to be a little bit more like him, nudging her to be a little more gregarious and outgoing, you know, urging her to just, you know, put a smile on your face, be more outgoing. And that wasn't her personality. Missy's a bit of an introvert. She's book smart. She's quiet. And so they had opposite personalities. So it isn't until kind of later in the book that she realizes that he could have loved her better and appreciated her for exactly who she was. But then she kind of comes full circle in knowing that he did the best that he could, that
right.
Even though he didn't love her perfectly, he did love her wholly. And, you know, that was kind of like a revelation moment for her in kind of accepting his death and moving forward for herself. So I think it is a kind of a message in, you know, how we love our parents, because I think it's you know, so easy to blame our parents for everything that's gone wrong in our life. And, you know, I think for the most part, you know, as a parent, you know, and our own parents, you know, we're all kind of doing the best that we can.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in chapter 30 of the book, I wanted to read one of the paragraphs there when she, again, this is in Melissa's voice, so we're able to really feel these words and what she thought about who she was without her father. For those who have the print edition, it's on page 152, but this is what you wrote here, Jennifer. Being Frank Fletcher's daughter made me something, gave me value, validated my existence. But without him, I was just a girl too frightened to leave Virginia, too nervous to fire her father's indolent nurse, too scared to stick her tongue out and catch a drop of rain on the tip of it. I was Frank Fletcher's daughter, and without him, I was nothing. That was one of the most powerful parts to me of the book, because I think readers will read those words, you know, and have to say I, and realize so many of us have been in situations where we feel like without this person or without doing this, that mm-hmm. makes us nothing. I mean, what was that like for you to put yourself in that place with her and to feel that emptiness that she felt without her father?
Yeah, I mean, that was a real low moment for her to be just in that absolutely deep despair. And, you know, and I think that, you know, in our real lives and also when we're writing, you know, it's like you have to hit those rock bottom moments where, you know, there's only one way up, and that's to, you know, to hit those moments and then to you know, kind of see the light and to start, you know, grasping and crawling your way out of the hole. But yeah, no, I mean, that was a sad moment to think that she felt, you know, that empty and kind of worthless without her father, when clearly she had a lot more in her that she didn't know quite yet, but it was there and it was coming.
Yeah, it was coming. Very powerful. Another interesting character, we've talked about Melissa and we talked about Joe, Jennifer, but we can't end this conversation without talking about Kate. Because Kate is another character that is really amazing in the book. And there was something, ironically, even though, you know, there comes a point that Melissa says to herself and then, of course, to us, and we sometimes have to get to this place, you have to go big or you have to go home. And she does something very big in her life. But to Kate, she says, when Kate is having similar doubts and things going on in her life, she said this to Kate, and I thought this was interesting because I think, again, it's something that all of us can relate to. She told Kate, "You have a giant heart. I wouldn't trade an ounce of it to be more something. You have an amazing amount to offer. It's still a little buried, same as me. We just need to peel back our layers." And I thought, of course, that leads right into the title of the book and the poem reference, The Light of Hidden Flowers. But, you know, I think that advice of being able to peel back the layers, it's something that all of us can do. What has that been like for you to be able to not allow fear to stop you, Jennifer, to not allow the what ifs or what someone may say about something you write? How has that played itself out in your own life?
It's so interesting because I have two daughters who have just entered the teenage life. So I have two daughters who are both age 13. And so, you know, Kate's issues are, you know, issues that we ourselves, you know, just kind of deal with on a daily basis, the struggle to keep the self-esteem up, you know, and then I think of myself, and it's like, here, I'm age 45, and I'm still dealing with the same issues. And sometimes I can't believe it. Sometimes I'll say to my husband, how can I be my age, and I'm still struggling with my self-esteem? You know, it's like you read a review, you read a comment, and it, you know, goes straight to the heart. And, you know, it's almost like you think it never gets easier. So, but you have to just keep going. I mean, and that's the advice, like, as a mother to my daughters, you know, as I hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, I have to listen to myself because I'm telling them, you know, that they need to, okay, dust yourself off. You know, you suffered a failure. Now we need to keep going. You know, it's like you can't let this hurt you. But, you know, it's no easier all these years later. So, I mean, writing is a tough business. I find it one of the most isolating, you know, lonely businesses that I've ever been in, because, you know, for the most part, you know, you're alone all day at your computer with your characters, and you know, there's kind of very little interaction with actual people. And then when you finally put your work out there, you know, it's so subject to scrutiny and criticism and comment, and you know, you have to have such a thick skin. And I mean, and I don't, you know, it's like my skin's as thin as you can get. So, you know, so it's kind of tough, but you know, you just kind of have to, you know, suck it up and keep going. But, but being a mother of teenage daughters, it's kind of, you know, that definitely informed my writing of the Kate character. I kind of loved writing that just because it's a little bit of, you know, them woven into the story.
Yeah, yeah, what a great thing. Again, everyone, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're having a great conversation today with Jennifer Hanford on a very big day for her, celebrating the release of her third novel, The Light of Hidden Flowers. We'll remind you all a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself, as well as how you can stay connected with Jennifer. And connection's a big part of Melissa and Joe's journey in the book. They're using social media the way that all of us are these days, Jennifer. I mean, you have been able to stay connected with your fans that way. I mean, what has that been like for you? I mean, because you have thousands who are staying connected with you through Facebook and Twitter. I mean, what has that been like for you to see the way that you've been able to get the support from your readers and not only been able to keep readers from book to book, but pick up new readers along the way?
That's been the best part of this journey. So just receiving mostly the emails for, like, my first book especially, you know, dealt with a lot of issues that I think touched women. I mean, I was talking about infertility and cancer and adoption, and, like, those issues were just, like, you know, take your pick. I mean, so I just received hundreds and hundreds of letters from readers who are like, oh, my gosh, it's like you wrote this with me in mind. And that just was an amazing experience. So I love hearing from readers. And so from there, you know, I definitely expanded learning a little bit how to use, you know, Twitter and a little more exposure on some of the other social media sites. And but I love that we're able to do that to stay connected. I mean, one of the greatest stories was just yesterday. I drove from my house in Virginia to Maryland, quite a drive, like over an hour, to a library, to a women's writers group in Maryland. This lady had contacted me to see if I could come meet with her group. And when I was talking to her, I was like, now, how did you, you know, connect with me? And she was saying that she had read my first book and then waited for, you know, a second one to come out. And, but I mean, I just love that. So she was like tracking me, you know, waiting for more books to come out. So, I mean, thank goodness for social media and for Facebook. So that was just, you know, and I was so happy that I had gone to that meeting yesterday, because it was just like the most lovely group of women who are all on a writer's journey, all trying, you know, all had projects underway. And I mean, it was just the most fulfilling thing. So I really enjoyed it.
Wow, what a great thing. And what a great, you know, thing that they'll be able to share with other people, Jennifer, that you were able to be there with them along their journey, you know. And I think that's the great thing. I think that your readers feel that they are part of your journey as they're going with you from book to book. So as you reflect on Melissa's journey, reflect on Joe's journey, and the continuation of what might be of their story later on, I mean,
yes.
You know, it's definitely entertaining. There's some powerful moments in it too. But, you know, what would you hope as the storyteller, what would you hope that readers, when they close the book, that they will be able to remember from it?
I mean, I definitely hope that they have the feeling that, you know, Joe and Melissa end up together. I didn't want to fill in the blank for them that was going to happen, but I mean, I certainly think that they were on the path to to that. And, you know, I don't exactly know how that would, you know, manifest itself, but you know, I think that there's definitely a happy ending there. You know, I think that I hope that the readers just take away a little bit of, you know, courage and bravery to maybe do something new and different and a little bit outside of their comfort zone. you know, a blog had asked me recently, you know, we all can't just take off to Italy or India, you know, what would you recommend to someone who has to stay put? And, you know, I think maybe, like, especially for moms who are so used to just putting themselves last all the time, you know, it's like maybe you just, like, put yourself first for for a change and do something you want to do, like take a class or, you know, do a charity project that you had been thinking of. And, you know, I think that we can step outside of our kind of our comfort zone and, you know, stretch our wings a little bit, you know, within the confines of our own home, you know, just by doing something different. And so, and that definitely takes bravery and courage to do that, just to do something different like that.
Exactly. So true. I mean, so many great lessons I think people will take away from it. And then also just a great story. And I think it really goes to show for all of us that if you want something great to happen in your life, you have to be active in life for that to happen. I mean, you can't just stand there and expect great things to happen to you. You have to get in the game, to go big or go home, as Melissa says to herself. And I think that's the great thing for all of us as well. Again, everyone, Jennifer Hanford has been our guest. Great conversation today with you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for that. The Light of Hidden Flowers is the title of Jennifer's new book. It's available now wherever you buy your books. Of course, our friends are Amazon.com. But, of course, if you have a local bookstore you support, even if they don't have the book, they'll be more than happy to order it for you. And, Jennifer, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Definitely through my website, which is www.jenniferhanford.com. And let's see, on Facebook and on Twitter, which is at JenHanford1. And, yeah, just, you know, type my name into a search engine, and I'm sure you would find me pretty quickly.
All right. Well, make sure you all are staying connected with Jennifer for sure. And, Jennifer, looking forward to our next conversation with the next book.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I really had fun.
Well, good. I did as well. Thank you so much. Hope our audience did as well. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation with Jennifer, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our friends at facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or you can go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I've tagged Jennifer on both of those places to make it easy for you all to find her there. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. For those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi and also on the East Coast, you can always check with your local station to find out when this show will be re-airing for you. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.